Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. It's Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi, Ruth.
Are you all ready to travel?
Nope. I wish I was.
Good morning, somebody else.
Well, here I am again on this morning. Got so much information in my head, I don't know where to start again.
No, it's hard to narrow it down.
I know. But the more you read, the more excited I get about what we're doing. So, anyway, someone else has joined us. It's probably Steve.
Yeah, it might be. It's pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to Okanagan this weekend.
Oh, fun.
Up north, Katie's wedding. She'll be his youngest daughter.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. She's the same age as Whitney?
Yeah, Whitney and Boyd and Shelley and both had little daughters. Well, Boyd adopted theirs. And her youngest child, Katie. And so we have pictures of the three girls and when they were really little. It was fun.
Huh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Monty.
Sounds like a sunshiny person. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
Hi, Margaret.
I think I watched too many children's programs along the way there. Mr. Rogers. Remember that? Mr. Green Jeans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I go back a little further to it's howdy doody time, it's howdy doody time.
I saw him before, but I don't.
Boy, you're in a happy mood. Let's hear some more of that.
Hey, hi,
oh, Karen. How's Clyde? Clyde feeling
well,
better?
Well, thanks to Meekin and his being exposed to good things for so long, he's going to recuperate. Well, he still hasn't had his gallbladder out. So that'll take a little while before he's at that point.
Is he back home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here we are.
We need to, I guess we should have studied about gallbladder and gallbladder flushes and all that stuff this week for Clyde and Karen, huh?
Well, my gallbladder's still with me, but I don't know if, Ruth, after talking to you, what the doctor showed Clyde when he was in there putting the tube in to his gallbladder, he showed it. Clyde says, I didn't want to look, but he insisted that I look. I don't know how big your gallbladder is, but he said there was a part of his gallbladder. He said it was about 2 inches long and a half inch wide. It was completely black, and the doctor explained to him that that was because of the acid or the bile in his gallbladder had eaten the flesh. That's how bad he was, and I'm not sure that his gallbladder can be restored.
I think that might be true.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he is really, I don't have to oversay it, but anyway, he has been in a bad way.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to the dysfunction of some medical people.
They just changed hospitals. Okay. Well, it's 7:02. Let's turn that time over to Mary Lou.
Oh, there. There, you rhyme.
I'm going to do it right now while it's still 7:02. But, geez, I'm Mary Lou Reardon.
Oh, hey, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you're all here. I'm glad to hear Karen back on the phone. I love the slide Ruth has put up here. I think I sent this to you, Ruth. I posted this on my Facebook page, on my fan page, and I said, I think I found, this is my dream doctor, but I think I actually found the doctor like this, because when, I think I shared with you guys, when I went to the neurologist a couple weeks ago, he just praised me up and down and made me feel so good. He said, most people won't do what you do. They come to me all broken and expect me to fix them. And he said, everything you're doing is, you know, just wonderful. And then I had shared with you guys, you know, that my cholesterol was down, my blood pressure was down. I couldn't believe my blood pressure that day in the office was 118 over 70. So what we're doing works. We need to just keep doing it. So anyway, I love this because the doctor, the guy goes to the doctor and says, I don't feel well. And I don't know why. And the doctor says, well, I want you to meditate for 20 minutes twice a day, exercise 30 minutes, avoid processed food, eat plenty of organic fruits and vegetables, spend more time in nature and less indoors, stop worrying about things you can't control, and ditch your TV. Come back in 3 weeks. Wouldn't that be great if we all had the doctor, a doctor that listened to us like that? Well, I posted that on Facebook, and several comments. In fact, somebody from Texas wanted to know if he had a friend in San Antonio that he would my doctor would refer, you know, give the name, make a referral to. So anyway, we all would love to find a doctor like that. So with that being said, I got the copy of Dr. Blaylock's letter on the internet the other day, and you know, we've all been, or I have been, you know, watching all of my numbers and everything, and this thing about cholesterol is always just kind of, I don't know, I guess I've really been kind of trying to understand it better, and, you know, which numbers are good and which are bad, and I'm not positive I believe the numbers that we're told, because I know a very, very, very good friend who's been told he's completely reversed his heart disease that has a very high cholesterol. And some of you, and when I've talked to him about it, he's even said, hey, it's just a number. Because, if you remember... What is our brain? Our brain is, there's a lot of cholesterol in our brain. I mean, if we had no cholesterol, our brain wouldn't be functioning at all. So I got the Blaylock letter, and I thought I really wanted to touch on some of this stuff again, because I think repetition is good for all of us, and I do respect Dr. Blaylock because of where he has come from and that he really wants to make a difference by getting the word out there, and that's what all of us want to do too. So I think he's on the same kind of the same wavelength as us, although he's a doctor. So he says that listening to most doctors, the medical elite, and the media, one would think that to control this hardening of the arteries, atherosclerosis, the major cause of heart disease and strokes and heart attacks, all a person needs to do is keep his or her cholesterol numbers low. But nothing could be further from the truth. He said that most experts in the field now agree that this hardening of the arteries is caused by chronic inflammation within the walls of the blood vessels, especially the inner layer of the cells called the endothelium, and the muscular layer that allows blood vessels to contract and relax. So, you know, scientists there for a while, they knew that foods that contain high levels of cholesterol, they were finding that in diseased arteries. So they drew this conclusion that we shouldn't eat eggs and meat. But he said the conclusion seemed to make sense. But it lasted until, and then the hypothesis about that lasted until just recently. He says there's some stubborn physicians who hold on to this false idea.
several careful studies have demonstrated that for the majority of people, there was really no relation between eating high cholesterol foods and hardening of the arteries. So, he was one of the first ones when they came out with all these statins. He talks about the different studies and how, pay attention to where these studies are coming from, because a good share of them are, the funding is from drug companies. And lobbyists from the pharmaceutical industry constantly pressure the government to give grants only to scientists supporting a theory that can make them money. We all know that. So he said the truth was slowly appearing. The real push for the cholesterol thing was the statin drugs. And they forgot to mention that the statins are powerful immune suppressants and only moderately anti-inflammatory. And Dr. Blaylock was one of the first to point out that any benefit patients got from statin drugs came from their immune-suppressing anti-inflammatory effects and not their cholesterol-lowering effects. So this is now accepted, at least in part, by the medical establishment. So not bashing statins too badly, but what he's saying is that the statin drugs, what they're finding out is that what the statin drugs really do is not lower the cholesterol, but lower the immune suppressing and their anti-inflammatory effects. So by us being on an anti-inflammatory eating routine regimen, it just seems to think, it makes sense that we are going to be able to, and that's probably why my cholesterol numbers came down, is because my I don't take any statins, and it's probably because I, have gotten on this program like you guys have, and what's going on inside us is we are getting healthier from the inside out. So, how do you guys feel about that? Did you ever know that the statins weren't really, that the big thing wasn't the lowering of cholesterol, but it was reducing inflammation?
No.
So why do we want to do it this way? We want to do it with our program, and we want to spread the word because a lot of the doctors and stuff won't admit to the real hazards of the statins. And a few of them here are memory loss, brain hemorrhages, Lou Gehrig's disease, severe peripheral neuropathy, prolonged immune suppression, cancer risk, and infections. He said, in fact, the benefits of statins are no better than taking an aspirin a day, although he doesn't even recommend an aspirin a day. And I've heard recently, and I can't tell you exactly where I heard it, but that this stuff about taking the baby aspirin a day, that there's been studies out there that say, yeah, it works for men, but it really, they haven't figured out that it does anything for women at all. So it says that if statins were the miracle drug that we've been told they are, then death rates would have fallen substantially. But these have been overhyped. And the past decade and a half, death from cardiovascular diseases is essentially unchanged over that period. Huh. Okay, so let me see. Oh, I had to go back and kind of number what I wanted to talk about.
Mary Lou.
Yes.
I saw just yesterday on CBS, on the morning show, or maybe it was ABC, but they are saying now that the one-a-day aspirin is not a good thing unless you've had a heart attack, that there are side effects to it, and I can't remember all of it. I will try to look that up. since it was just on yesterday's program, and I'll send it to Ruth.
Well, I can tell you one side effect, that one aspirin, just taking one aspirin, you cause your intestines to bleed a teaspoon.
Oh, my Lord.
Every time you take one aspirin. And my husband...
What, Mary
left,
is, what is
pardon
the
me?
Soup?
It causes you to bleed a teaspoon every time you take one. But what happened to my husband was the doctor had him taking a baby aspirin every single day, and he's got a real temperamental intestinal tract. And last fall, right after, it wasn't long after the convention, he was bleeding for about 10 days before he even told me, and I did not know it, you know. And finally he got so scared that he told me, and we called the doctor, and they had him in there to a specialist that afternoon. And he had actually lost so much blood that he was anemic. And I said, I believe it's because he's taken this baby aspirin a day. And they said, well, what now? The specialist said, now, why is he taking that? And I said, well, the doctor thought that he should take it, you know, to prevent heart thing. And he said, well, then, you know, one doctor is not going to badmouth the other one, especially when one's referring one to the other. So he said, okay, we'll continue to do that. Well, I said, no, get off, you know. Actually, about 3 days before he finally went, before we called the doctor, I told him to cut out that aspirin. And so by the time they ran the upper and the lower, he had stopped bleeding, thank goodness. But, you know, we can't, you're absolutely right. I think that was Nancy that was talking. We, you know, we've got to pay attention to our own bodies and go with that gut feeling. I mean, I believe that we get that, that gut feeling is, you know, the spirit telling us what we want to do. Just listen to our bodies.
You are right.
Well, Mary Lou, I thought that, I was thinking that everybody who was on high blood pressure medicine had to take that baby aspirin. At least, that's what my doctor says.
Oh,
no. So, I think he did my blood pressure medicine.
Now I think I remember what it is. When there is a tear in the lining of the wall of the artery, if we are taking that aspirin, that is thinning the blood, and whereas if it was not there and if those red cells would form around there, it would heal itself. But with that aspirin, that's thinning the blood, and so then the blood just goes right on out of that tear instead
wow.
of repairing it, putting a patch on it and repairing it. That was part of it.
Wow. Okay. Thank you very much, Nancy. And I'm kind of caught between a rock and a hard spot here because I have a doctor that told me I should take a baby aspirin every day, and then I find out I have this brain aneurysm, and so here's what I found out. He says, Dr. Blaylock, in his letter, says, what the levels considered to be optimal have fallen so low that nearly everyone would need large doses of statins to reach these levels that they're saying, you know, we need to be at. And what the public has not been told is that people with these low cholesterol levels have shown a significant increase in brain hemorrhages as well as death from such hemorrhages. The brain needs a lot of cholesterol. Studies have shown that lowering cholesterol drastically interferes with synaptic function and operation of neuron cell function. That is, the brain's normal processes are impeded if it doesn't get enough cholesterol. Okay, another thing that people are not told is that lowering cholesterol in those over age 70 actually increases the risk of dementia and does not reduce risk of cardiovascular disease.
Could you
what?
Please?
It says, another thing that people are not told is that lowering cholesterol in those over the age of 70 actually increases their risk of dementia and does not reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. Because our brain needs that cholesterol. The brain's normal processes are impeded if it doesn't get enough cholesterol.
And I think our brain consists of around 80% of the good fat.
Uh-huh.
So without it, the brain is shrinking if we don't get enough.
There you go.
So it's good to be called a fathead.
Yes.
my gosh. This is Donna, and I just want to say I went to the doctor's this week, and for a health assessment at the cardiologist, and she wanted to put me on cholesterol medication, only because I'm a diabetic. Even though my cholesterol levels are low, she wants them to be lower. So I said, well, I'm doing some other things that I think will lower it. And she just sits there and like looks at me like, okay. So I don't know. This is interesting. What you read, Mary Lou, I have read a lot of that before.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
One of the things that's always amazed me, and I know people might not necessarily agree with what I do, but, you know, since I've been on this program way back when, and things have happened the way they've happened, that, you know, I go to my doctor, and and my doctor will tell me I need certain medications, and I'll go ahead and just kind of agree with him, let him write the doggone prescription, but I certainly won't take it to the pharmacy and have it filled. What's always amazing is when I go back, you know, either my cholesterol's lower or my blood pressure's lower or whatever, and he just beams like crazy. I just sit there and kind of think to myself, yeah, mm-hmm. I thought that the medication really worked, Doc, but I haven't even been taking it.
Wow. So furthermore, to just, I think Ruth calls Dr. Blaylock and tells him what to write about, because he says, what really causes heart disease? Extensive research now agrees that the most important factor in atherosclerosis, you know that word, the hardening of the arteries, is chronic inflammation. And the only question is what's causing the inflammation. And some of the factors that are linked to it are, one, stress. My doctor up there says meditate for 20 minutes twice a day. Exposure to toxic metals, lead, mercury, aluminum, and cadmium. Cadmium. Ruth sent a great thing out yesterday reminding us about the mercury that is in our silver fillings that they call silver. It's mercury because it's cheap. Exposure to pesticides and herbicides. Dietary excitotoxin additives. We've talked a lot about that. Exposure to radiation. I suppose that would be too many x-rays and that kind of stuff. Chronic or repeated infections, including viral, bacterial, and mycoplasmal infections. High blood pressure. And that's why he recommends, you know, that we have these, when we get our blood work done to find out where we are as far as the inflammation is.
Yes.
And low magnesium triggers widespread inflammation. It makes the blood more likely to clot and lowers cell glutathione levels. Okay, so as people age, they lose a lot of their magnesium, mainly because of dietary reasons, but also because of overuse of medications. No, I'm not this group. Many medications, especially cardiac medications and diuretics, deplete magnesium. And I do believe blood pressure medicine is a diuretic. So make sure if anybody is on blood pressure medicine that they get their plenty of magnesium, and we can get that from our vegetables. And when I talk about vegetables, Dr. Blaylock says everyone should eat at least 10 servings of fruits and mainly vegetables a day, including mostly nutrient-dense cruciferous vegetables such as Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and cauliflower. And Ruth has the food chart up there again that we talked about yesterday, and if you weren't on this call, that is a call worth definitely listening to because we all did so well on this block chart that we really need to go back and pay attention to our serving sizes if we're not getting the results that we wanted, because remember what great results those of us that were on the original program, when we stuck with these blocks, we had great results. Well, now we've added to that. We know the blocks, but now we know which foods are more alkaline, so we could do even better. Now, we don't change our menu at our house very often, so our drink is basically, you know, the same. And so yesterday, my husband does our smoothie, and so yesterday I went in and I just checked and saw what all was going in there, and was writing it down as far as the blocks went. And, you know, really, he did pretty darn good. And then I talked to him about these blocks. I said, do you remember on the protein, how much? Yeah, I'm supposed to have 4 blocks, and you can have 3. So he remembered that from way back on this other, on our original program. And you see, the thing is, I don't think we need to be afraid. Although Dr. Blaylock did say something about watching out on the red meat, and especially, go easy on red meat. He said, especially beef and buffalo. You know, we heard some people say, buffalo is good for you. Red meat's very high in absorbable iron and has high levels of glutamate and other excitatory amino acids. And if you eat your vegetables with your red meat, then it reduces the toxic effects of the iron and those excitotoxins. But he recommends eating red meats no more than twice a week. We don't have that. And never more than 6 ounces a day. So it's his recommendation. So fish is our best fish, and our salmon there. The nice thing is, like 3 blocks of salmon here, that's the least acidic. One block is 1.5 ounces. So really, for 3 blocks, we get 4.5 ounces of salmon. Yum. And then load our plate with all those wonderful vegetables. Now, men can have 4 blocks, so that's a pretty good-sized piece of salmon. 6 ounces, I think. And then load your plate with these vegetables. And some of the ones that Dr. Blaylock really stresses, and Monty covered it too, is spinach, kale, and other leafy green vegetables. But he also, when he talks about the 10 servings of vegetables, he says they should be either steamed to remove the thyroid-suppressing compound. That's the Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and cauliflower. The vegetables must be steamed to remove a thyroid-suppressing compound. We've heard about that before. And never eat an abundance of these vegetables raw. There's a lot of word out there about these raw diets, you know, raw food diets. And Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and cauliflower, those those vegetables should not be eaten raw.
Which ones?
The cruciferous vegetables, like Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and cauliflower, they should be steamed even just a little bit, because otherwise, because that is to remove the thyroid-suppressing compound. three ways to maximize your absorption of these nutrients from these vegetables is steaming them, chewing them thoroughly, or blenderizing them. And he says 80 to 90% of the nutrients are absorbed from blenderized vegetables, while only 30% are absorbed from those that we eat whole. So, you know, put those vegetables in our wonderful, wonderful drinks to make sure that we are getting our 10 servings.
But we need to cook them first a little bit, huh?
He said the cruciferous ones. Everyone should eat, yeah. Never eat an abundance of these vegetables raw. Monty talked one time on one of the calls about how just steaming it briefly did something about opening it up. What was
breaks
that?
Breaks down those walls.
Yeah.
Breaks down the cell walls.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times, I've mentioned this several times, you know, like cauliflower or broccoli and those kind of things, is that when you steam them, you basically it's kind of like our body, you know, when we go in a steam room, our pores open up. Well, also when they not only they open up, but also that when for some reason that when you chop them up or cut them up or do whatever, that the enzymes that really brings out the nutrients of the vegetable itself basically is released more and more absorbable when we do eat the particular product. And I think that's what Dr. Blaylock is saying in regard to blenderizing things, is that the enzymes and everything else are just more acceptable, I should say, or absorbable to our bodies. And we get the nutrient value, like he says, you know, with 80% more, I think you said, Mary Lou, and 30%.
80 to 90% of nutrients are absorbed when we have them blenderized, but only 30% are absorbed when we eat them.
Right.
And he said that this is the major source of these protective nutrients, magnesium, which we need magnesium for good heart, for everything, and yet it gets depleted as we get older. So it's especially, he says, in the vegetables, it's the magnesium, potassium, and our flavonoids. And we're running out of time, but right here he also said certain spices, like turmeric, rosemary, and oregano, can add to the protective effects of foods. But garlic, onions, and shallots contain compounds that reduce the hardening of the arteries and can even reverse it. Garlic, onions, and shallots. They also improve blood flow and slightly reduce blood coagulation, thus reducing one's risk of a heart attack or stroke. So there's your aspirin a day, is to make sure you get your garlic, your onions, and your wonderful vegetables.
So that's why we started all of our soup. Every time we make soup, we start our soup with onion and garlic. Stick those in there and let them get started.
Right.
I remember one of my sons didn't really like onions, and he said he didn't like them in the soup and everything. I said, well, that's how I start every soup, and I'm not going to change. I like them.
Yeah. I love garlic and onions.
What page is that on anyway, Mary Lou?
Which one? The last one I just mentioned?
About blenderizing. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, it's on page 6. Starts down at the bottom on page 6. And then, you guys, hawthorn extract. Anybody know anything about hawthorn extract?
It's very good for the blood pressure, lowering the blood pressure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know too much about it, but the hawthorn berry and combined with some other herb, it really helps for the blood pressure, maybe even the cholesterol. But when I suggested that to my brother's cardiologist, he said, oh, no, the medication works much better.
For the pocketbook, you mean?
Yeah. Well, he says here that the natural product of Hassa and extract has been shown to be a superior treatment for hypertension for several reasons, and he says especially coronary arteries and the blood vessels supplying the brain. It does lower the blood pressure, and that's on page 8, Ruth, in the top thing. But the reason this caught my eye is that I was talking to Harriet Berg, and she had, if I lived in Washington, I would go to her naturopathic doctor up there on the island, because this guy, I'm just amazed by him. He tests her all the time. He's got some kind of German machine he tests her with, and she'll bring in her Nikon stuff, and he tells her how many she should take. He tests her on everything. Anytime we come out with something new, and she's had wonderful, wonderful results with all of our products, but I was asking her what he had her doing, you know, for the cholesterol and stuff. And now she takes, some things. But Hawthorn Berry was one of them. I thought, and then I read it here. So, yeah, she's got a great doctor up there.
Where do you get the Hawthorn Berry?
I would imagine it's from a health food store.
Yeah,
we get ours. I'll get the brand for you.
I know hers is Now. Now, N-O-W.
Now?
Yeah, hers is, that's the brand, is Now.
Ours is ours is from the same company that we get the red pepper.
Red rice cheese.
Red
pepper.
The guy who wrote...
Oh, the red pepper, not red rice. Red pepper.
The cayenne peppers.
Yeah.
Cayenne peppers, the guy who wrote the book about reversing his heart problems with just cayenne pepper capsules. So it's heart healthy herb, Dick Dunn Hawthorn Plus. He's in Minneapolis. And the phone number, you want the phone number?
Sure.
800-229-3663.
3663?
That's correct.
800.
Why Hawthorn Plus? This Hawthorn has 450 milligrams in the gelatin capsule. Contains Hawthorn berry, motherwort, leaf, and ginger root and kelp.
Wow.
Take one or two capsules up to three times a day. I've been taking one a day. I'm glad you brought this up.
Well, you know that the day that I did the call on all the different spices that are out there and all the different health benefits they are, I really think that, you know, I know I certainly have started to definitely increase when I make my scrambled eggs or cooking or stew or whatever. I've really spice load in regards to that, because I really believe that spices are, I'm not going to say the wonder drug, but I really think they do certain things to our bodies. Particularly, I really sold on turmeric.
Mm-hmm. And that's in our lactoferrin too, isn't it? In our lactose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm with Monty. I've been adding turmeric to the things, and somebody said, "Oh, you're feeding us Indian food."
Yeah.
More than usual in that recipe.
Oh, he did do a plug one more time about coconut oil as well. He says coconut oil itself is very cardioprotective and also helps the brain. He's talking about mixing the curcumin and quercetin because they're poorly absorbed as a powder, but they're improved by dissolving them in either extra virgin olive oil or coconut oil. So anybody that's taken that curcumin, but... Anyway, we're way past our time, and I probably won't be on here for a while, a couple weeks.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Washington. I'm going to my grandson's graduation from high school. my baby grandson, the youngest one.
So I want to make an announcement about that. On June 16th, we're having bronze training, and all of us... Nikan should be attending that bronze training. Well, maybe not if you're from Texas. Now, if you want to come on up, Nancy, or Tennessee, Margaret.
Tennessee.
Oh, Donna's on here too. And Mary Lou and Larry, we're having a dinner afterwards, and Mary Lou and Larry are going to be there, so we'll all get to see them. That's
Yay.
The 16th of June.
That happens to be Clyde and I. That's our 53rd anniversary.
Oh, wow, what
well,
a
happy
way to
anniversary. Wow. Yeah, and a plug on bronze training, blah, 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 3.1. You know, 1.1 and 2.1 are both on Nikan University free. And Rolf Powers, one of the platinums in our group, said, you know, that 1.1 would be a very good recruiting thing. It's only, I think, 11 minutes long or something. So you can watch 1.1 and 2.1 on there, but 3.1 just kind of brings them all together, and it's not a different kind of training. It just supports what we've all already learned. Larry and I did it on April 28th, and it was good. And now every new consultant that joins, it costs $60 now to become a consultant, but that is included. You get that bronze training. I think you can, that 3.1, you can use it for up to a year. So it's good. And that's your distributorship. So if there's two people on the distributorship, it's $60 to go to the class. But you can't take it's somebody from your downline. I mean, it's $60 per distributorship. So awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing everybody that can make it, and happy anniversary, Karen, and I'll pop on when I can. I just never know for sure if I'm going to have self-service, staying at our son and daughter-in-law's, and, you know, I don't know what I'll be doing. So I don't know if I'll have self-service or not. So, okay, everybody, have a great day. Pardon me?
Thank you very much. Very good. Good information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Have a great trip.